This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we're speaking with Mr. Keith Bernard, the CEO of Clear2O, one of the leading manufacturers of high-quality water filtration products. Mr. Bernard, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much for having me, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure. Looking forward to being informed here on the topic. So we know that the quality of tap water varies from state to state, even from town to town, but how contaminated can tap water actually be?
Well, that's a great question, and I really think there's three things that need to be considered for to be able to answer that correctly. First, it's important to understand that the EPA regulates about 90 contaminants that are considered to be harmful. And then your local water source is actually required to test for these contaminants and then produce these results annually for anyone's review. But the real question is to be asked is, how often is testing done by that local facility? Is it daily? Is it weekly? Is it monthly? It's going to differ by state, and it's different by water treatment facility. So what can pass through undetected during the non-testing periods? That's where concern should lie, and really recommend that people understand how the testing is actually applied at their local water facility. The second part is that the EPA also has guidelines for what are called secondary drinking water standards. These are not necessarily harmful, but they address the aesthetic issues with water. So taste, odor, color, things of this nature. But they can also be a concern for some. So, for example, salt, a very common thing, is on this list. But for you and me, it may only be just a taste issue. But for someone with high blood pressure, this is another source for where salt is coming into their diet, and an unrecognized source that has to be managed as well. So this is a concern for some, and really, again, where they should understand how is this being tested and what's going on with their local water. And then third, everyone should understand where their water comes from and what's the age of the facility that it actually comes from. So many of the water treatment facilities were built in the 1950s or 60s or 70s, and those are now 50 to 70 years old. So has that facility been upgraded to new types of technology that are better suited to treat the issues in water today? Or is it still utilizing some of those older test methods and older water treatment that was used originally? So that's a key thing that needs to be understood. And what is the plan for your city to address those water concerns? And then the second part of that is actually how far away is that facility? How old is the infrastructure between the facility and your tap? So the EPA testing that I just spoke of is actually at the facility location, but not after that location. So what does that water actually have to pass through to reach your faucet? So these are all areas that could potentially add contaminants or affect your water, including the pipes in your own house. So this is why it's important to really understand the full aspect of how your water really gets to your tap.
Certainly some fantastic information to kick things off here today. Now, we are familiar with the horrible water situation that recently took place in Flint, Michigan, and now there is severe levels of lead in the water in New York, New Jersey as well. How common is a problem like this?
Well, hopefully not that common. I actually like to think that most water treatment facilities are doing their best to identify and address any water quality concerns. And they don't rise to the level as Flint or Newark and the issues they're having with lead in those markets. But again, it's related to the age and type of water treatment that's being applied locally. And this is, again, why it's very important for everyone to understand how is your water treated, how often is it being tested, and how does it get to you. If it's traveling through lead pipes, then this is a serious concern that everyone should have. And this all depends on the infrastructure that was placed, potentially decades ago.
Taking this further, how much can water filtration help with the average household water, and how much can it help with extreme examples like we just mentioned in Newark, New Jersey, and Flint, Michigan?
Well, actually, a great deal if you choose the right filter. And with the right filter, you can minimize exposure or potentially even eliminate the issue altogether. So when choosing a filter, we recommend that everyone looks to see if lead is to be removed. Is it mentioned on the label, as an example, and to what degree? So there are water quality standards established by the EPA that we just spoke of. But in addition to that, there's also testing standards that are established by NSF, which is the National Sanitation Foundation. And for example, on lead, you need to look to see if it's rated to remove lead to the NSF/ANSI standard 53. That's the specific standard that addresses heavy metals and specifically lead as well. So if a filter passes that standard, it ensures that a minimum 95% of the lead is being removed, and that's achieving safe drinking water levels. So that's key and critical to understanding what that filter can remove. So in cases like Flint and Newark, we also actually recommend changing your filter more often. So if the lead is higher than even the test standard, the filter will reach its capacity even sooner. So we recommend to be safe and change out your filters more often to address this.
Certainly pleased to hear there's somewhat of a solution on this today. We are with Keith Bernard, the CEO of Clear2O, one of the leading manufacturers of high-quality water filtration products here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. So tell us, Mr. Bernard, are all water filters the same? And if not, what makes them different?
Well, the short answer is no. All filters are not alike, and many of the most common filters on the market only address the aesthetic issues and with minimal harm for contaminant removal. To just take a minute, let me explain some of the types of filtration technology that everyone should understand, at least when it's coming to filtering their water in their own home. So when someone sees the word filter, they usually understand it to block something, and that's correct. It prevents it from passing through. But as I've already stated, not all filters are alike. And so what they need to understand is to what level does it block or prevent contaminants from passing through. And usually this is understood primarily through understanding micron. So micron is the most common measurement when it comes to filtration. And it's measured at 1/1,000,000th of a meter, so quite small. So if the filter does not list its micron performance, you can assume that they don't want you to know, or possibly does not block the level that you are assuming. So it's really critical to understand what you are using and to what level and degree it is actually blocking. So granular carbon, as an example, quite often has anywhere from a 25 to 100 micron level rating. A human hair is anywhere from 30 to 70 microns, somewhere in that range. So it's very possible for a human hair to actually pass through a filter like that. So you wouldn't necessarily think that to be correct, but that is the size that we're talking about here. Second, there are two additional types of filtration that should be considered and really need to be understood and we recommend as well. So the first one is absorption, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's the most common. And carbon is a very friendly molecule, and it absorbs many of the contaminants that it comes in contact with. So it physically pulls them into its structure from the water, and then it removes it from your water. So, for example, chlorine, this is why carbon is so often used to remove chlorine, is carbon loves chlorine, and it's easily absorbed into the carbon structure, so therefore easily removed from your water. And it's a natural aspect of carbon itself. The second type of filtration is called adsorption, which sounds very similar but actually operates very differently. This is an ion exchange technology that bonds the filter to the contaminant based on its polarity. So, for example, when you see the word activated in association with carbon, that means it has a positive charge that's been placed on it. So anything that has a negative charge particle, when it tries to pass through, it's actually attracted to the carbon and bonds directly to the carbon, thus removing it from the water. So another key and critical aspect of being able to remove things. There are particulates in your water, and you're going to block those through having a low micron level. But the chemicals that are actually in solution could easily pass through various different filters unless they have some types of these types of technology to address those types of things. So you have to get at filtration usually through multiple types of technology to be able to address and to be able to pull the key and harmful contaminants out.
Now, on your website, you say that you use solid block carbon rather than granulated carbon. Why is solid block carbon better?
Well, we love solid carbon block. We love those filters as they provide all three of the technologies that I just discussed, as opposed to the most common, which again is the granulated activated carbon, which is the most common type of filter you see in the marketplace. And it actually doesn't perform well on two out of the three technologies. So I don't want to disparage granulated activated carbon. It's a good technology. It's just that it focuses more on the aesthetic aspects of water filtration versus the contaminant side of filtration. So it can clean the water, it can improve the taste, improve the color, but it's not necessarily removing the contaminants that may be prevalent in your water. So when I speak about granulated carbon, it's important to understand what it is. It's small actual granules of carbon that are loosely packed into a filter. So if you can shake the filter and you hear it shaking inside, then generally that's a GAC or granulated activated carbon filter. And as I already stated, they range from anywhere from 25 to 100 micron. So when water flows through it, it seeks the path of least resistance, which actually is by going around the granules versus passing through the carbon itself. Thus, it just really can't produce the same results. So with solid carbon block, we can focus on both of these types of issues, both the aesthetic aspect and actually the contaminant aspect, with our 1 micron filter performance. And the solid carbon block is actually made from carbon powder, not granules, and then is compressed into a solid block. So the water must actually flow through the carbon itself, allowing it to do its job much better. So this is why we prefer to apply solid carbon block wherever possible, because it's just a much better combination of technologies, and it makes for better results.
Now, of course, for those that travel often, it's one thing to have clean water at home, but what about when you're away from home? How can you assure you're getting clean water while you're on the road?
Yeah, this is actually a growing concern for many, many people. Actually, they may have done all this work to get clean water at their house, but then the second they leave, they're not carrying their water with them. So for travelers, you can actually help the environment and improve your water by using a reusable water bottle with a filter inside. They're small, they can easily be carried during your travel, and this can help you to understand what type of filter is included to ensure that you're still filtering it to the level that you should be. So when it's all said and done, this is actually one way you can do it. Additionally, we're addressing the issue for RVers, as an example, who take their home on the road, but then they get to campsites that don't necessarily have the water quality that they would love to have or that they have already at home. So we've developed an inline filter, which actually uses our proprietary solid carbon block formulation, and it removes the contaminants to 1 micron, improves the taste of the campground water that often has like a sulfur taste and smell. We target that and remove that so you have a much better performance from the filter itself. And now you can get the same quality of water on the road as you do at home. You know, overall, the key to understand all of this is to understand what type of filter you need and which one you're buying. And our recommendation is to always focus on quality. And remember, the water is the key to life, so make sure it's the best water filter possible.
Well, this certainly has been informative, Mr. Bernard, and can't thank you enough for what you do through Clear 2.0 and what you're doing in the space and making an impact as well. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share as we conclude today?
Well, I'd say one thing is that you get what you pay for. So we always look at this and say, you know, take your time, read the labels. If there's not something stated there, quite often they don't want you to know. So make sure you take your time to educate yourself on what you need. And then also you can find many, many, many test resources online, or be able to get your local water tested as well. So if you have a concern in a particular area, a particular type of contaminant, lead is an example, just have your water tested. It's not that expensive, and that will give you a peace of mind of knowing whether or not what's going on locally is good for you or whether or not you need further filtration.
And of course, Mr. Bernard, before you go, where can listeners get further information on Clear2O and its products, and how could they also be in touch accordingly?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.clear2o.com, and be able to see all of our products along with more information on our technology and our products as well. But we're also on Amazon, on Walmart.com as well, and can be done at other online resources.
Fantastic. Plenty of options available. Again, Mr. Bernard, all the best, and we certainly appreciate your joining us here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
All right, Eric. Thank you very much.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Keith Bernard, the CEO of Clear2O, one of the leading manufacturers of high-quality water filtration products. And for further details and to shop around, visit clear2o.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.